It is Acadiana's
reigning, defending, undisputed
number one sports talk station. And this is its exclusive podcast on the sport of
professional wrestling.
103.7 The Game's 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast is scheduled for one fall. 20 minutes on everything happening inside the 20 by 20 squared circle.
Are you ready?
Ring the bell.
Welcome, everyone, to a special edition of the 20 by 20 Progress Podcast, a Money in the Bank instant kind of reaction here. That's part of the 20 by 20 Progress Podcast. We mentioned last week, this has become more of a recurring theme. Anytime a big event happens on Monday, we'll sit back, recap it, at least for a little bit, and drop it just before things get started with Monday Night Raw. And my goodness, Monday Night Raw is going to be a fun one tonight. I'm not going to get all the deets about it, but I have to say I was definitely intrigued about everything that happened involving Money in the Bank 2019. I'll give some rapid-fire thoughts right now on it. You know, not necessarily going to go a full 20 minutes, probably go about like another like 10, 15 minutes at the most, because I'm getting closer and closer to the start of Monday Night Raw, so let's get to it right now. I was surprised, first off, to see the Tony Nese, Aria Daivari match get moved up to the main card. I thought this was going to be a dark match. I wasn't sure if it was official or not, but it feels like you constantly put that as a main event on the undercard. But WWE surprised the hell out of me with that, and wound up having them put on a really decent match. Not everybody liked it. Went 9 minutes 25 seconds, and I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was a fun match. It was a great way to get the crowd into it about midway through, but the crowd just wasn't all into it. Maybe that's more to do with the fact that the WWE Universe isn't a fan of what's going on with the Cruiserweight division. They want the Cruiserweights to Cruiserweight. They're bigger fans of seeing stuff that matters. You know, not everybody's watching the network and every little bit of content that they have. Hell, some people have canceled the network due to their displeasure in a lot of what WWE's done over the last couple of months. But I have to say, this was a phenomenal card that we saw last night with WWE Money in the Bank. The Usos, Daniel Bryan, Rowan match was fine as it was. It was definitely weird to see it. But, you know, that's the path that we're taking right now with the WWE relative to who's going to wind up being the big dog in the WWE. And we're going to wind up hopefully seeing the WWE tag team titles, or at least SmackDown Live tag team titles, mean a little bit more, or you wind up possibly, and this is just a pure hypothetical, at this point is move forward and have a new, like, unified title. Again, it's pure hypothetical. We don't know if it could happen, but I would absolutely love it if it did, because I'm getting tired of seeing, like, the Raw and SmackDown titles be demoralized to the point where I just don't care anymore about what's going on with them. So give me that. I would love to see that. And then I have to say, they started off the show as well as they could have, because it was amazing to see what they were doing with WWE programming. Was phenomenal. The way they booked everything, it was outstanding. And I'll tell you one thing that I loved. It was the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. The spots they had, Naomi kind of showing off a lot of her agility. I feel like they underutilized that a lot, because if they put her more so as like a Kofi Kingston, where she consistently did that stuff, I feel like you'd probably be able to get Naomi over, because I feel like she hasn't had that ability to crack that glass ceiling, if you will, like Kofi Kingston has. But I have to say, a really fun match. I'm glad Bayley won, and Bayley kind of did what I said was going to happen on the 20 by 20 podcast on Wednesday, was saying that I think that person was going to cash in that night, because they're not going to waste any time trying to take care of, be it Becky Lynch or whoever won. And it was a smart move, a smart booking move on the part of WWE. And then you have the United States Championship, a 1:40 long match that wound up getting cut short, apparently, due to the bloodletting that Samoa Joe had, which really looked gruesome. Hopefully he's okay and able to kind of get ready and get healthy for the next match in this storyline that's probably be lasting well into the summer. Shane O'Mac defeats The Miz. That was a surprise, but again, very creative booking. They did a really creative booking once again with The Miz pretty much beating the hell out of him, but not able to get the job done and get the win. And I think that's a huge step in the right direction when you look at the way the WWE is booking this feud. I like the way they're doing it. I like the ending of it. It was weird for me at first. I'm like, okay, I'm cool with that. And I mentioned the Cruiserweight title match earlier. It was fine. Just people hated on it. In fact, the Shane Miz match was like the third longest match on the card, which is fourth longest, excuse me. The women's was 1350. Just weird how like short a lot of the matches were relative to like where they were in the card. Tony Nese and Aria Davari, relatively good match. Becky Lynch beats Lacey Evans. Worst match in the card, in my opinion. Lacey Evans needs to kind of be sent back down to developmental. She's not ready for the prime time. It'd be great to see her be pushed a little bit harder, but trust me, it wouldn't necessarily work out that well, at least from my point of view. Then you have Charlotte Flair right after that, which I thought was a cool way to do it. And then Charlotte Flair wins in 6:15 against Becky Lynch, which I was pissed about because I'm like, why take the two belts away from Becky Lynch a month after? I feel like you probably build it up a lot more as her being the most dominant female superstar in the WWE. I think you can build her up. But then you wind up redeeming yourself because Bayley, I mean, if you watch WWE programming, she has been built up as a person who wants that opportunity but has not been able to get those opportunities because of a Charlotte Flair, a Becky Lynch, a, you know, anybody. Insert name. That's basically where I'm at with this. And I absolutely loved it. Bayley showing up and shocking the world, winning the WWE SmackDown women's title for the first time in her career. Actually, she just did the Triple Crown. Congrats to her. The Triple Crown for women's titles. She's won the women's tag, the Raw and SmackDown women's titles. And I have to say, this is an impressive run for her. And it feels like Bayley is finally back on the trajectory many of us thought she would be. I absolutely loved it. Roman Reigns, Elias, fun for what it was. 10-second match. Not much to really write home about, but really good main event between, really good match between these two. And it definitely highlighted how Roman Reigns now, it's basically show up, Superman punch, spear, I'm out of here. And I like that. I like that idea of it, especially with somebody like Elias, because honestly, Roman's more focused on Shane and Vince. He doesn't give a damn. He's going to do what he wants. And I absolutely love that about him. Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, the longest match of the night, 19 minutes, 45 seconds, and this was a masterpiece. That counter from the curb stomp into the Styles Clash was a chef's kiss right there. Honestly, match of the night and probably one of my favorite matches in a while from a non-Big Four card, even though I consider Money in the Bank to be kind of the replacement for King of the Ring, if you will, because remember, King of the Ring used to be kind of your part two show, if you will, and it was really fun. Honestly loved it, and hopefully a lot of people did enjoy that as well because it really showed the strengths of Seth Rollins, and hopefully he can keep having matches like this going forward. Then you had Kofi Kingston, Kevin Owens, the three main events all back-to-back-to-back. I was intrigued by that idea. You have Kofi beat Kevin Owens after getting his shoe taken off, which was weird, and honestly, I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was very fun, very entertaining match. Kofi Kingston definitely deserved to win. He didn't need to lose the title a month later. It would have been really cheap. And then everybody's thing that everybody's complaining about with Brock Lesnar being winning Money in the Bank for the world title match contract down the line in the next year. Think about this statement. Brock Lesnar won Money in the Bank. Brock Lesnar's a part-time guy. He doesn't have to show up until he wants to. He could show up tonight on Raw. I doubt it. He could show up on SmackDown. I doubt it. He could show up whenever he wants, and when the moment's right, he'll strike. And you'll never see it coming. That's my biggest thing when it comes to the Brock Lesnar winning Money in the Bank. I felt that was a smart move because of the fact that you never know when it's going to come. Because you always kind of see superstars pop up, and they're always around. You know, you don't know. I mean, you've always got to be on your back, but Brock Lesnar, you don't know when he's going to show up. So if he, anytime he shows up, you're going to be on your guard. You're going to be on your guard, ready to defend your title at any given moment. Because the second Brock Lesnar shows up, all hell breaks loose. I would love to see him hold this until WrestleMania. Or even until, like, Money in the Bank 2020. And just not show up. Not do anything for an entire year. Because just when you think, you know, Seth Rollins or Kofi Kingston or whomever is the champion, they can let their guard down a little bit. And then all of a sudden you hear Brock Lesnar's music and the people will lose their damn minds. He's like, oh God, he's here. He's going to cash in. And then if he loses, it doesn't affect Brock nearly as much as it did anybody else. I feel like if you had Ali, Andrade, Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, Finn, Orton. Orton's probably the one that can probably get away with it, and Ricochet. Anybody except for Brock and Randy would have been hurt because if they failed to cash in. So honestly, this was probably the best case scenario, and I absolutely love the idea behind it. Hopefully, again, we don't see Brock Lesnar for a good while. But that's about all we got for the 20 by 20 Programs podcast mini edition. We'll be back Wednesday with a full-blown edition previewing everything involving Double or Nothing, which is rated TV-14 for what it's worth. I'm out of here. The 20 by 20 Programs podcast, it is so overdone. Leave us a 5-star review, 6 stars if you're in the Tokyo Dome, 7 stars if you're in Madison Square Garden or in Vegas. We'll be back on Wednesday.